Okay, we're going to start the shir, Shavuos shir. I want to talk a little bit about Kabbalas HaTorah. Now, that sounds like a topic that's been treated already extensively, but I want to say over something today, and I think it's going to give a lot of depth to what Kabbalas HaTorah is all about. In other words, when we think about Kabbalas HaTorah, we think about the Jews, or Makabal, the Torah, Tayag Mitzvahs. Okay, and then how many mitzvahs do the Goyim have? So the Goyim have 7 mitzvahs b'nei Noach. How many do we have? We have 613. So, okay, so we have 606 mitzvahs more than the Goyim. That's l'chaira what it looks like, right? We have the Yud Gimel Ikrim, we have principles of faith that you have to believe in, and we have a lot more mitzvahs. But I want to explain today, based on a Beis HaLevi, it goes much deeper, and I think it could be a paradigm shift of how we view what Shavuos is all about, and what Kabbalas HaTorah is all about. So, as we know, now it's during the days of Shleish Yemei HaKabbalah. The Torah goes into detail what happened from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until Kabbalas HaTorah. So the Torah says that when they came to Har Sinai, B'chodesh HaShlishi L'tzeis B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Yisrael, B'yom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. So Rosh Chodesh Sivan, they came there. And the Torah says, "Vayisu mirafidim, vayavoyu midbar sinai, vayachnu bamidbar, vayichan shom yisol neged ahar." And then says, "Moshe ol elikim." Rashi says that was on the second day. "Vayikri lav Hashem in ahar leimar," and Hashem comes to him saying, "Koy yisaymar lebeis Yaakov." This is the instructions you should give Beis Yaakov, which is the Noshim, v'sagid lebnei Yisrael, that's the Anoshim. "Atem risem asher asisi Mitzrayim," you witness, you saw with your very own eyes what I have done to Mitzrayim, ve'esa eschem ha'kanfei nesharim, and I carried you on kanfei nesharim, v'avi eschem eloi. So Hashem says the following, v'atim shumayet tishma b'kreili, u'shmartim es brisi, if you listen to my Torah, and you keep my bris, ve'yisim li segula, and you will be for me a segula mikol ha'amim, ki li kol ha'aretz. So we have to understand, what does it mean you will be for me a segula? Rashi, the Ramban, talk about what a segula is. It's like a treasure. The Mechilta on this pasuk says, what does it mean, v'yisim li segula? It should be, kinuyim li, you will be purchased by me. Now, what exactly does that mean? What does it mean that Klal Yisrael, Kav Yachol, is purchased by Hashem? So we have to understand that. And the Mechilta says further, v'asukim b'Torah, and you should study Torah with a lot of asik, put a lot of effort into your limud Torah. Okay? So we're going to explain what this means. Again, I think it's going to give us a lot of depth, what exactly is going on Shavuos, what exactly happened at Kabbalas HaTorah. Daf Yomi is on, I believe, Daf Pei Aleph. So the last time you learned the Gemara is literally 7.5 years ago. It's going to be in a few days from now. The Gemara that talks about Kabbalas HaTorah is Daf Pei Zayin and Pei Ches and Masech the Shabbos. So over there on Daf Pei Ches, it talks about a pasuk in Tehillim, Alisa Lamarim. It's talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. You went up to Shemayim, Shavisa Shevi, you captured something. Lekachta Matanis Ba'odim, you took gifts for people. V'af Soirim Lishkein Ka Elikim. And even for those who stray, Hashem's going to dwell His Shekhinah on them. Okay, that's what the pasuk says. Then it says, Baruch Hashem Yoyim Yoyim, Yamaslanu, Hashem gives us so much every day. Hakel, Yeshua, Seinu Seli, He's a God, He's our salvation. The psukim go further into this. And then at the end of the pasuk it says, Amar Hashem, mi Bashan Oshiv. Hashem says, I'm going to return from Bashan, Oshiv mim Seilus Yam. I'm going to return from the depth of the sea. These series of psukim are extremely difficult, even the Pashat Pshat. How do I understand these psukim? What is going on? What does it mean that Hashem, that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the Shemaim, he got back gifts, and then Hashem says He puts His Shechina even on those that stray. And then the end of the pasuk talks about, Amar Hashem, I'm going to return from Bashan, I'm going to return from the depths of this sea. Now, to give it a little bit more, to flesh out these psukim, if you remember from the Gemara that a lot of people learn on Tisha B'Av, the story of the Chorban, the Gemara actually relates a story about this last pasuk, Amar Hashem mi Bashan Oshiv, Oshiv mim Tzeilas Yam. The Gemara says a story. Tanya, I want to tell you the story. It's a Gemara in Gittin, Perek HaNizakin. Ma'isa is a story, B'dalid Me'ais Yiladim. There are 400 children v'yaladeis, boys and girls that were captured, shenishbu l'kalein, they were captured, I'm assuming this is at the end of Bayis Rishon, hergishu, or maybe Bayis Sheni, I'm not sure, I have to be honest, I'm not sure if we're talking about the end of Bayis Rishon or Bayis Sheni, but it says there was a story in Klal Yisrael that during one of the churbanos, 400 boys and girls were taken captive, shenishbu l'kalein, but they realized they were taken captive, that they should be taken advantage of physically to sell the girls into prostitution and the boys into Mishkav Zachar. They realize that it's a very terrible situation these boys and girls were in. Okay, so when they realized this, Hergishu Ba'asur Lamehe Mizbakshim Amru. So they felt like this. Im Anu Toivim Bayam, they said, maybe we should jump overboard. We should drown ourselves. So they said, are we going to come to Chai Olam Abba? Should we kill ourselves? So it says like this, Darash Lahem HaGadol Shebehem. There was an older child there. The older child said, I want to tell you kids a drasha. Omer Hashem mi Boshen Oshiv. This pasuk in Tehillim. Oshiv mi Metzulas Yam. The word mi Boshen is a contraction of Bein Shine Arayos. Also, the oldest one made a drasha. Hashem says, I will return you from the teeth of the lion. Oshiv mi Metzulas Yam. In other words, he understood this to mean that when we're trapped and we're taken captives, and we jump into the water, Hashem's going to return us and bring us to Chai Olam Haba. So as soon as the girls heard this, the girls jumped overboard. And then the boy said, wait a second, the girls, it's natural for a man and a woman to have that kind of relationship. And if they're willing to give themselves up, HaKiddush Hashem, for sure we have to give ourselves up, HaKiddush Hashem. And it says, as soon as the boys saw the girls jump overboard, they made a kavachaymer. Nasu yoladim kavachaymer. V'amu ma'al lolo shidakim lekach. Anu she'ein darkim lekach. Alachas kama v'kama. Afhen kaftu l'tzei chayom. V'aleyem akos of oime ki alecha aragnu kol hayom. So basically, this last pasuk in Tehillim was a nevuah that one day, Klal Yisrael, Yidden, boys and girls, are going to give up their lives al Kiddush Hashem. Okay, it's a very beautiful drasha, very beautiful story, but how does it fill it into the context of the reisha of the Pesukim in Tehillim? Alisa Lamar, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim, he got some kind of gifts, and Hashem says he's going to put his shechina on even those that are Rishom, and then the end of the pasuk says, Hashem Mibosh and Oshem Mitzul Siyam. So we have to understand what's going on over here. One more story is the Gemara in Shabbos also. The Gemara says that Rava, the famous Rava was one time sitting and learning. While he was sitting and learning, you know, sometimes you put your hands under your legs, he was learning like that for hours until he squeezed his fingers, he rubbed out his fingers, and his fingers started bleeding. So there was a tzaduki there. The tzaduki says, you people are very, very impulsive. You put Naseh before Nishma. Let me read you the Gemara. Ha'ut Shaduki. It's Shabbos Peches. The Chazi L'Rava D'Komayim B'Shmaita. Rava was one time thinking deeply about a sugya. He's sitting on his fingers. And he squeezed his fingers to the point that he was literally dripping in blood. So the Saduki says to Rava, I'm a Piziza. You're a very impulsive nation. You put your mouth before your ears. You should listen. You should first hear what Hashem has to say, then say, I'm going to do it. Why do you say Nasiv and Ishma before you even know what you're saying? So Rava said, you're a type of person. Us from Yidin, that we walk with innocence with Hashem. It says about us, Tumas Yesharim Tanchem. The innocence of the upright will lead them. And about you, you people walk crooked. Ksiv Behu V'Salif Baidim Yeshadim. That the crookedness of the crooked people will be his destruction or will take away all his spoils. Okay, so let's just summarize the story. Rava sat on his fingers, he was bleeding. Because of that, the Tzaduki says, why do you say Nasi before Nishma? What in the world is going on here? What does Rava sitting on his fingers have to do with saying Nasa before Nishma? Okay. So these are the questions that I want to deal with. Now, I want to tell you a question. The Beis HaLevi says he saw a question. He doesn't remember where he saw it. The Beis HaLevi is in Drushes, Drush Yud Zayin. He said, I saw a question. I can't remember where this question was asked. I found these days, because internet search, you can find anything. It's in the Sefer Avos, David. It's from the Chidah, Drush Tezayin. Drush Tezayin asks a Lam D'Shekasha. Okay, let me tell you the Sheet of Rambam. The Sheet of Rambam is like this. Let's say me and you make a verbal agreement. Is the agreement binding? So we know from many places in Shas, the agreement is not binding because words don't have standing in halacha. If I say something, maybe I should keep my word, maybe it's proper to keep your word, but it doesn't, it's not final. It doesn't have standing in halacha. The Gemara says, it's devarim bi'alma, words are nothing. Okay, so let's say I say I promise you next week I'm going to give you $100. That's not binding. But if let's say we make a kinyan seder, then it's binding. Okay, kinyan seder is binding. Let's say I make a kinyan seder and I make an open-end agreement. Okay, so the Rambam says, Chayiv atzmai, if a person obligates himself, bedavar she'enoi kosov, something that's open-ended. This is a Rambam Hilchas Mechira Perich Yud Aleph Halacha Tezayin. If someone makes an open-ended agreement and he doesn't commit how much he's going to give or not, or commit himself to, Rambam says, Kegoyin she'oimer hareini chayiv lozenoyscha, I make a commitment, I'm going to support you. Now this Rambam has a lot of relevance to Halacha. If a Shver commits to his son-in-law, right, but he doesn't give him a set amount, he says, yeah, I'm going to take care of you. How many years? He doesn't say how much. He doesn't say. It's not binding according to the Rambam. Ravid argues, but Shitas Rambam says it's not binding. But he doesn't say how much. Okay, so cannot be an open-ended agreement, even with a kinyan seder. So if I make a binding agreement with a kinyan seder, but it's open-ended, it's not binding at all. That's the Shitas Rambam. So the Chidah asked the Kasha, how, like he takes the Rambam and plugs it into a very fundamental question into Shavuos. How could Yisrael say Nasev and Ishma? And why is that binding? They made a commitment to something they don't know. It's open-ended. Tarshim B'Chsav, they didn't even know at that time how much it will be. And even if Hashem told them it's going to be Tayyik Mitzvah, Tarshim Alpeh is endless. Every generation it could be more and more Gezeris and Takanas and more obligations. So why is the Kabbalah Satar binding at all? That's the Chidah's Kasha. And the Beis HaLevi says a phenomenal idea and it has three ramifications in Halacha. Okay, so the Beis HaLevi says like this. According to the Rambam, a person can't obligate himself for something open-ended. But could a person sell himself as an Eved Ivri? The answer is yes. Because I can't obligate myself to obligations which are not spelled out. But if I sell myself, as two words, my, in quotations, S-E-L-L-F, if I sell myself, that is binding. So when Klal Yisrael took upon themselves Tayag Mitzvahs, they didn't just take upon a number. Tayag Mitzvahs, you know, the Goyim have 7 Mitzvahs, and we're going to take 606 more Mitzvahs. That's not what we're doing over here. There's something fundamentally different when Klal Yisrael mekabel Tayag Mitzvahs. They're not mekabel Tayag Mitzvahs. That's open-ended. They didn't know what they have to. They were shabbat their goof to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, that we are slaves. We are Hashem's avadim forever and ever. So therefore, although a person can't be mechayiv himself for davar kotziv, you could make yourself meshubit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu forever and ever. And by the way, that's the pshat in the mechilta that I started with. What does the mechilta say? V'yisem li segula, sha'atim tehei kunuyim li. You are going to be property under of Hashem. That's the difference between Klal Yisrael Tayag Mitzvahs and the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach. Now, the Beis HaLevi says three hafladika, and this I believe this is a paradigm shift of how we have to look at Kabbalah Satur and Shavuos. The Beis HaLevi says there are three nafkaminas of how we should view this Shibud Haguf versus just accepting a chiv upon ourselves. Nafkamina number one, does a guy have to give himself up for Kiddush Hashem? So the Beis Halevi says, based on the Gemara Sanhedrin, the answer is no. A guy does not have to give himself up on Kiddush Hashem. Why? So the Beis Halevi says, very simple. Let's say I borrow $1,000 from you, and I'm bankrupt. I can't pay you back. It says a Chayish Mishpah, but do I have to take upon myself other jobs to pay you? The answer is no. I borrowed the money. I have an obligation, but I wasn't mishabed my goof. I don't have to take on extra jobs. You're not my master. If I don't have the money, I don't have the money. When I have the money, I'll pay you back. Klai Yisrael was mishabed. They're goof. They have to do whatever they can to pay back the chayv. No different than a slave. I own you. You have to pay back the chayv. It's different than someone who just borrowed money. When there's a shibud ha-goof, you have to give up your goof for the shibud. So the Beis Halevi said, that's the fundamental difference why a Yid would have to give his life for Kiddush Hashem, and a guy doesn't have to give up his life for Kiddush Hashem. And that's why when Rava was being meister his nefesh Kiddush Hashem, Rava was literally killing his body for Torah. Because he was mishabed his goof. If it's just an obligation, I'm going to learn Torah. Okay, if it's a little bit too hard, you don't have to do it. No different than a guy who said he's going to pay, and now he doesn't have the money, he can't pay. But once you mishabed your goof, you have to do everything you could. For the three mitzvahs, you have to give up your life. Kiddush Hashem, you have to give up your life. And for other mitzvahs, you have to do whatever you could to pay up, to do what you have to do. That's the lashon of the mechilta, by the way. You're going to be a segula mikol ha'amim, sha'atem ti kenuyim li, v'tehei ha'meilim b'toira. So that's what happened with Rava. That's nafkin number one. Nafkin mina number two. It's unbelievable, the Beis Halevi. When we became Kaddish B'Kedushas HaGuf, the Medrash says, we became like a Kli Sharis. What happens by Kli Sharis? Not only is the vessel holy, if you put something into the vessel, it becomes holy. For example, you have flour for a mincha. You can't use that flour for a mincha yet. When you put it into the Kli Sharis, it becomes Kaddish for a carbon mincha. So a Kli Sharis has two functions. Not only is it holy, it can make something else holy. The Beis Halevi doesn't make a tzushtal, but the Gemara in Bracha says that normally in a Bracha, you don't talk about two different things. You don't talk about two different concepts in a Bracha. For the Gemara, so how do we say, Mekadosh Yisrael Vazmanim? And the Gemara says, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadosh the Kli Yisrael, who has the ability to be Mekadosh Yomtiv. How did we get this ability? Because we became like a Kli Sharis. Every Jew, when he obligated himself to Hashem as a servant, he became a vessel that could make other things Kaddish. The Beis Halevi says that's why. If a guy becomes a ger, if he decides to become a ger, he can't become holy. If he becomes a ger by coming to a Jewish bezdin, we could transfer Kedusha to him that he could become holy. So that's the second Afkamina. That not only are we holy, we can make other people holy. And the third nafkamina, and I think this is the most beautiful idea of the Beis Halevi, is that when something becomes Hegdish, if I say I'm giving my iPhone to Hegdish, if someone does Me'ila, it loses its, when someone's Mayel in Hegdish, it loses its Kedusha. But something that's Kedusha is Haguf, if I say this animal is a carbon, even if you ride on that animal to the Beis HaMegdash, you're not allowed to, but even if you did, it doesn't lose its Kedusha. And the Beis Halevi says that's the principle that once a person's a Jew, he can never lose his Kedusha being a Jew. Because we were Niskadish Gufay. Al Yisrael Afa Pisha Chata Yisrael Hu. That's the idea of becoming. We're not just obligating ourselves, and then when we decide we don't want to obligate, we could check it of Klai Yisrael. We became Niskadish B'Kedushas HaGuf when we said Nasiv Nishma. When we said Nasiv Nishma, we didn't take upon ourselves obligations. We took upon ourselves that we are Kaddish B'Kedushas Yisrael. That's what happened on Shavuos. Coming back to the beginning, now it's unbelievable what the drasha that we said in Shabbos. Listen to the drasha. The psukim in Tehillim say, Alisa Lamarim, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Marim, Shavisa Shevi. He captured something. He took presents back, Mibnei Adam. What are the presents? Sairim Lishkein Ka Elikim. That even when someone strays, Hashem's going to put his shchin on that. Those are two things. That even if someone was a guy but became a yid, Hashem will put a shchin on him because he gave us the Kedusha to make other things Kedusha. And B, if you are already a Jew, no matter you're the biggest rush in the world, but if you do tshuva, Hashem puts a shchin right back on you. Those are the two things. Then the psukim go in and say, Hashem saves us, Hashem protects us, we're under Hashem's wings. The last pasuk says, Hashem mi boshen oshiv, oshiv mi metzulas yam. What is this pasuk? That Klai Yisrael gave up their lives at Kiddush Hashem. That's the third nekuda that Klai Yisrael did when they said Nasa Nishma. They just didn't obligate themselves. They're willing to jump into the water for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are we mitzvah to jump into the water? Because we didn't obligate ourselves. We didn't take a bunch of obligations, 613 obligations. We were neskadish b'kedushas haguf for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the difference. That's why Hashem says, Hashem mi boshen ashiv. You did the right thing by committing suicide and jumping off the boat. Ashiv mi mitzulas yam. So those neshamas, they did the right thing. One day I'll bring them back. But I think the idea of all this is that when it comes to shuas, you think about Nasu Nishma, we mekabel the Torah. It's much deeper than just being mekabel the Torah. Every year shuas, we're recommitting ourselves that we became the Skadish Bekdushas Haguf. We are a holy people. We're the segula of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's my bracha to everybody, that we should be zeiche, that we should taka. Use this Yom Tov to accept upon ourselves or re-accept upon ourselves this obligation that we made, that we're not just taking the mitzvahs upon ourselves. We're going to become the Skadish Bekdushas Haguf, and we should takibi zaycha that we should all feel good and we should have a gevaldik shuas. Everyone should have a beautiful shuas. Kol Tov.